Our first scripture reading today is a responsive psalm reading, Psalm 145. It can be found on page 857 in your hymnal. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all. His compassion is over all His creation. All your work should give thanks to you, O Lord, and your faithful one should bless you. They should speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all the generations. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up who all bow down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due seasons. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. All the Lord's ways are just. All the Lord's doings are kind. The Lord is near to all who call, to all who call upon the Lord in truth. The Lord fulfills the desire of all the faithful and hears their cries and saves them. All who love the Lord preserves. All the wicked the Lord destroys. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless God's holy name forever and ever. The word of God for the people of God.
Before we go on to the Hebrew Bible, I don't know if any of you noticed the location of the image on the front of your bulletin. Did you catch that in the psalm? Just for extra credit, if you go home and pull open your Bible and read through the entirety of Psalm 145, you will see the mention of the Lord's hand, but also some other good things as well. It's definitely worth your time. The Hebrew Bible lesson comes from Haggai, chapter 1, verse 15b through 2:9, and you can find it in your pew Bible, in the Hebrew Bible on page 827. Hear these words. In the second year of King Darius, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the promise that I made you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, so that the treasure of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Then we'll jump down to 13 through 7. It can be found in page 194 in your Pew Bible's New Testament. hear these words. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits of salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you together through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may attain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. The word of God for the people of God.
But in light of that, in light of the good news of Jesus Christ, let us turn to the gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 20, verses 27 through 38. We're marching through these wonderful stories, and today we continue that march on page 79 in the New Testament in your pew Bible. If you're like me, there is value in reading along in the word as it is spoken, so you might want to open your Bible up and follow along. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife shall the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die any more, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, truth be told, last Sunday, you recognize, was All Hallows' Eve. We call it Halloween. And Monday, last Monday, was actually All Saints' Day. But the United Methodist calendar suggests that All Saints' Sunday can be celebrated today, so that's what we're doing. As I was planning this sermon, trying to think through the scriptures, I came up with several good images to share with you. Now, usually, I'm a fairly linear thinker, and I try to present my sermons in a linear way, point by point. If you're like me and you grew up in the public school system, you might have been taught the same things I were. In this case, what I'm talking about is when I was supposed to write a paper, they taught me that I should present point A, point B, and all the subheadings down the page. Do you remember that? Some of you do? Okay. Well, it turns out that when Zach, my 16-year-old son, went through school, he was taught a completely different approach. I think they called it a bubble outline. Have you ever heard of a bubble outline? What Zach did was to put a main idea on the page. He'd put a big circle around it. He'd put another main idea, put a big circle around it, and then he'd try to connect the dots and make an outline for his paper. Well, that's quite different from the way I learned it, but it still works. And so, this morning, I hope to present to you a few different ideas and then try to connect the dots for you. In fact, my goal in most of my sermons is to provide you with some fresh images of God's Word to consider. Then I hope that you will think about it and pray about what God is saying to you through these scripture passages. I hope to instigate thought and prayer and to provoke you to action. All Saints' Day. When we together proclaim our faith, just like we did this morning as Mark led us, we affirm that we believe in the communion of saints. Now, what in the name of God and Jesus and God's kingdom does that mean? Well, let's take a look at it together. One of my bubbles here. When I was a kid growing up, the son of a university professor, I was always fascinated with learning new ideas. And I can remember vividly when my family and I would watch the National Geographic specials on our black and white TV. Do you remember the National Geographic specials? I bet you if you closed your eyes, you could probably think about the theme music, couldn't you? Ba-ba-ba-ba-da, ba-ba-ba-ba-da. Yeah, my singing's terrible, but you probably remember the music. Well, the ones of those National Geographic specials that really struck me were the ones on archaeology and anthropology. And if you remember back in the late 60s, these shows were on, and I was absolutely captivated by the work of Lois and Mary Leakey in the Olduvai Gorge in Tanzania in Africa. Do you remember their work? You might. Mary Leakey was the one who found the remains of an ancient human Zinjanthropus. And what I loved about this was the Latin name, Australopithecus Boisei. Now, as a little kid, I thought that was great. Then they went on. A few years later, they found skulls from Homo habilis. Now, that was a whole new language to me, this genus species notation. And what it did was strike into me a lifelong fascination with science and scientific inquiry. Now, what we learned from that program, what the Leakeys were trying to tell us, is that these were skulls from people who have lived some 1.6 million years ago. But that those people were really not very different from you and me. Now, as this research into archaeology and anthropology continued over the following decades, we came to understand that all people all over the world likely shared a common single human ancestor. And the relatively new research into the genetics of the human species tells us that all people everywhere and all people throughout time share the same biological DNA. We are all related as human beings. Well, it turns out that the science corroborates what we read in the Holy Bible. If you were to seek the truth from the book of Genesis, then you'll find that all human beings started with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. All people everywhere and all people throughout time share the same spiritual DNA. We are all related as human beings. A separate bubble. Before my family moved to Denver, we lived in southwest Colorado. We lived in Cortez. And we spent some time in Albuquerque and Santa Fe, New Mexico. Anybody been there, northern New Mexico? All right, you know what I'm talking about. Well, likely, as you may well know, when the Spanish conquistadores journeyed into the New World, they brought with them from Spain Roman Catholic priests. Spain was interested primarily in two things when they came to the New World. They were interested in taking all the gold that they could find and in converting all the souls that they could find. It was gold and God in that order. So if you look in today's New Mexico and southern Colorado, you'll find Spanish colonial churches throughout that area. Now, one of the most fascinating legacies of this very difficult colonial history is the art that came out of the Roman Catholic Church. When these folks traveled from the great cathedrals of Spain, they remembered the magnificent paintings of Jesus and Mary and all the saints back in their home country. So that when they came to the New World, these Roman Catholic priests tried to recreate the sacred art here that they had back in Spain. And so began a kind of folk art where local artisans made carvings and paintings of Jesus and Mary and a whole host of saints. And these artists, the descendants of those original Spaniards, continue this work today. Now, these works are known as santos, the Spanish word for saints. A santo that is carved out of wood that's freestanding and three-dimensional is a bulto. And a painting on wood is called a retablo. So santos bultos and santos retablos are created by artists known as santeros. So throughout history, the Roman Catholic Church has canonized thousands of saints. Now, by definition, a saint has to be dead. They have to have been responsible for at least two bona fide and proven miracles. And they have to be moved through a process of canonization by the Pope and the bishops in Rome. I went to Catholic Online, which is a terrific website, and they say this about canonized saints. The title of saint tells us that the person lived a holy life, that this person is in heaven, and they are to be honored by the universal church. Canonization, this process, does not make a person a saint, but rather it recognizes what God has already done. Though canonization is infallible and irrevocable, it takes a long time and a lot of effort. So while every person who is canonized is a saint, not every holy person has been canonized. So, the faithful Roman Catholics in New Mexico were creating images of these holy people, these canonized saints, in order to pray to them. Catholics believe that these saints intercede for them by speaking directly to God in heaven. Catholics venerate these saints, but they don't worship the saints, nor do they worship these images or santos. Those of us who are part of the United Methodist Church are part of the larger Protestant Church, and we believe in a very different theology from the Roman Catholic Church. Now, I believe that these santos bultos and santos retablos are beautiful folk art, but I don't pray to these carvings or to these paintings. And I don't have a need to pray to saints to intercede on my behalf to God. As a Protestant, just like you, I pray directly to Jesus or directly to God Almighty. What we do share with the Roman Catholic Church is much of the same language when we affirm our faith. Now, all of us recite the Nicene Creed, and just like we did today, we recite the Apostles' Creed. All of us share a belief in the communion of saints. Now, what this means is that we recognize all people everywhere, all people throughout time who are children of God are made from the same spiritual cloth. We all share the same spiritual DNA. We believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected after his death and crucifixion, He was the first fruits of God's kingdom. And we believe that since Jesus conquered the power of sin and death for all people, for all time, that we too will be resurrected in union with Christ when he shows up again at the second coming. Now, this communion of saints doesn't refer only to canonized saints, but rather to all people of God who have died and have gone to their rest. Ultimately, all of us will share in Christ's resurrection. All of us will be reunited, and all of us will live for eternity in the unity of God's kingdom. This is what Jesus meant when he said, "Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive." God is God of Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But God is also God of Adelaide Veman, Edna Swan, Ray Bryslin, Dolores Young, Ruth Barnett, Dean Hughes, and all those who we love who have gone to their rest in Jesus Christ. Let us remember all of these wonderful people, for all of them are truly saints. God is also God of you and me, God of the living indeed. Amen.